I think that last verse in the hymn, I don't know if it was based on Philippians chapter 1, for to me to live is Christ, but that's what it seems to suggest. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why would the Apostle Paul say that? For to me to live is Christ. It doesn't seem that he was especially speaking about getting the life by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. But it was a matter of living. And what was it he was living for? What was his life, really? He says, for to me to live is Christ. In verse 20 it says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That must be what he had before him, that Christ might be magnified in his body. Well, if Christ is to be magnified in our body, we will have to have that same thought, desire that Paul had, for to me to live is Christ. He didn't say, for to me to live is money. For to me to live is a luxurious home. For to me to live is nice clothes, fixing myself up. He wasn't thinking about those things. But he did want Christ to be magnified in his body. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, he comes to live in our hearts. And he, as the one living there, he must use the vessel in which he's living to show out his life. And this is what was the concern of the Apostle Paul. That Christ might be shown out in his body. In another place in writing to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, we which live are always delivered unto death, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in these bodies. Delivered unto death? Yes, delivered unto death, dead to everything beside the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in us. This is a tremendous thing. The Lord Jesus is not here now, and his life cannot be manifested that way. He's up in glory. The only way his life can be manifested down here is in and through us. And so he has that desire. What if we have a desire like that? Will the Lord answer our desire if we tell him about it? Every day before we start the day, we could ask the Lord that he might be manifested in our bodies, that his life might be shown out in us. For to me to live is Christ. And if that is real with us, that it is our life to have Christ, that he is everything to us. He transcends everything in this world that we could think of, that we might set our hearts upon. I believe this is something each of us should covet, that we might have Christ so before us, that he might be the real thing that we're living for, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he will be magnified in our bodies. In chapter 2, we notice something. We read about the Lord Jesus Christ here as an example. In many places in Christendom, they're trying to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. And even sinners think if they follow Christ's example, they follow his pattern, that they can be saved. Well, we know that's not true. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come down here to be a pattern for the sinner to get saved just by following his pattern. No. But we notice in this that we have before us in the second chapter, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to tell us about his humbling himself. Well, usually people don't want to follow an example, as an example, one that humbles himself. They like to follow an example that exalts himself and is puffed up with pride. A great one in the earth. One perhaps that has great intelligence and is able to amass a fortune. They like to follow an example like that. But to follow an example like this of one who is a lowly person taking the low place and stepping down, down, down. Who does that? We don't do that naturally. But he has put before us who are children of God, as an example in taking the low place. And all that we need might look to him for grace for this, to take the low place here. Because he has set forth the principle over and over again, he that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Well, we have the example of the Lord Jesus right here in that. He humbled himself and he was exalted. Who wants to follow that kind of a pattern? By the grace of God we do, who know him as our Savior. Then in chapter 3, we have him brought before us as our object, the object of our affections. The Apostle Paul had his eye upon himself before his conversion. He had confidence in the flesh. He was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, verses 4 and 5. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, and concerning zeal. What zeal he displayed in persecuting the church. He thought he was doing the right thing, and he was all wrong. What a zealous man, occupied with his accomplishments. What made the change? He saw the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to him from the glory. The brightness of that light struck him down. Yes, as soon as he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he was struck down. And if he hadn't been struck down by the power and the light of the Lord, he would be struck down by the very presence of the Lord. And what an object for his soul. And he got his eyes off himself and those things that he gloried in. And he got his eye upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says in verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yes, they were gained to him at one time. And maybe it's true with us too. There are things we have looked upon as gain for ourselves. But when we get a proper glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ, it all vanishes into nothing. What things? Things. Oh, are we occupied with things? It's easy in this day to be occupied with things. It's necessary that children of God be occupied with things in a certain way. All must make a living. And the Apostle Paul is very clear about that. If a man provide not for his own, he's worse than an infidel. We do have responsibilities toward our families, toward our children, but not to the point where it becomes the object of our affections. And how are we going to keep a balance between the two? Balance is a fruit of the Spirit, temperance. And we need to look to the Lord for grace. And we need to go on in the power of an ungrieved spirit, so that the Holy Spirit can occupy us with Christ and balance out our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. And part of that little group, that cluster of fruit, is temperance or balance. We need to be balanced out, balanced Christians. And we can only be balanced as we have the Lord Jesus Christ for our object. And if we have Him as the object of our lives, everything will come out all right. It will be just the way it ought to be. We don't have to lay down laws and rules and regulations for ourselves and become legalistic in our thinking. What we need is what the Apostle Paul brings out also in this epistle about not being of the concision, but of the circumcision which boasts in Christ Jesus. What a difference it makes to boast in Christ Jesus, to have Christ as the object. It'll balance us out, and the Lord will give us grace and strength and mercy to help us in our time of need to live balanced Christian lives. Yea, doubtless, he says, and I count all things but loss. Leave out the word but. He says, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ or have Christ for my gain. At the end of the journey, in this epistle, we find the Apostle Paul looking on toward the end, to being with Christ in resurrection. And we have that in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Or the out-resurrection from among the dead. This is what he was looking forward to, because he knew that that meant he would be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He would have Him at the end of the road as his gain. So, having his eye on Christ now, made him look toward the time when he would be with the Lord Jesus. So often when we get occupied with things here, we're not looking forward to the resurrection. We're not looking forward to being with Christ. And it's a hindrance. And so we need this balance in our Christian lives, to have Christ as the object of our lives, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then trusting Him to supply all the rest that we need. In chapter 4, verse 13, we have Christ as our strength. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You find it difficult to live for the Lord? Well, it's not easy to live for Christ here. It means self-denial, taking up the cross, following the Lord, denying ourselves, depriving ourselves of this and that and the other thing for His sake. Oh, there are so many things that want to prey upon us, and we want to give in to them, temptations, testings. How can we meet them? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. For to me to live is Christ. Paul, how do you do it? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You have Christ as your example and pattern. You follow Him. How can you do it? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Paul, you have Christ as your object. You suffer the loss of all things. You count them but refuse and dung. How can you do it, Paul? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What a wonderful conclusion to this epistle. Because we have brought before us here normal Christianity, and it seems way beyond us, way above us. How can we be normal Christians? I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. And so it's always looking to Him. This is what He was telling the Hebrew believers who were tempted to go back to Judaism. He says, looking off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Looking off unto Jesus. Is it your private life? Look off unto Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who will strengthen you. Your family life? Or you have problems in the family, difficulties with the children, and maybe we have problems with ourselves. Looking off unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Watch Him. Look at Him, the one who trod the pathway of faith down here. And just keep your eye on Him, trusting Him, and telling Him, Lord Jesus, I know there's no other way. I can't do it. But I can do all things through Thee, Lord Jesus, who strengthens me. Is it the assembly? We need the Lord in the assembly. Perhaps sometimes we get together in the brothers' meeting and we try to thrash things out or scheme things out or work things out. And we get nowhere. We sit till midnight sometimes, maybe. And then, finally, we think about looking to the Lord. The only one who can guide us. The only one who can strengthen us. Oh, that we might learn this lesson. Even though we might be old, let's still learn it. It's not too late to learn that lesson of looking off unto Jesus and realizing that we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us.